नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तथा जयं उदीरयेत्. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, verses 18 through 23, questions by the sages. Atakya hi hareti mannavatara katha shubha lila vidatata sairam isharasyat mamayaya. Translation. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers.
Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langayate girim yakipam tamam vande shi gurum jinatarnam om agyanat mrandasya gananjana shakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shi gurve namah.
So in their concern for the fallen condition of today's people, these sages have asked four questions. The first two about the ultimate good for all people and the essence of the scriptures. Because the people of this age have no time to go through the scriptures, they have no intelligence to understand what's the purpose of the Vedas. They have no interest even, they're manda, they're slow, they're misguided. So many disqualifications. So therefore, we need a method of self-realization which is easy for the people. So the second two questions are also for the benefit of the people, but they're also for the benefit of the devotees. They are inquiring about Lord Krishna and his incarnations, specifically his Purusha avatars. So the sages are showing their great eagerness to hear Bhagavatam. We can see here in the first verses how they're worshipping Suta Goswami. And then they begin to ask all their questions. So we finish the first three sections and part of the fourth section. We'll finish the fourth and the last section today of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter. So they glorify the holy name, how powerful that even fear personified runs away, even if you unconsciously chant. Just like my son, sometimes I've taught him since he's young, when ghosts or some demons come in his dream, he chants. And they vanish consciously in his sleep. He chants. And they're gone. They're afraid of the holy name. And so then they glorify the devotees, who are even more purifying than the Ganga, who simply by their glance, or just by seeing a moment's association, can give us a beginning on the spiritual path, a desire to have Krishna. So this is the power of the pure devotees. So, we must worship the Guru. This is one of the main themes we'll find. I'll go over the themes at the end of this lecture today. What are the main themes of this chapter? How to reciprocate with the spiritual master, then how the spiritual master will also reciprocate. That will come more in the next chapter. And also from the first three verses, there are some themes, which I'll go over at the end of today's class. So in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we must take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, Shukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, and try to get the spirit that the sages have, this eagerness to hear. So now their fifth question, which we read today, this according to Burijan Prabhu and also the learned Acharyas, is about the Leela incarnations of Lord Krishna. Krishna performs such wonderful adventures. If you made a movie of Krishna's life, it would be extraordinary. As a young child, he lifts a mountain on his little finger, his left hand. Who can do this? Marry 16,108 wives. It's unheard of. It's unheard of in the history of the West. Who can do this? So this is Krishna. At the end of the third chapter, it will say that his incarnations are just like waves in the ocean. And all of these waves are just like parts or plenary parts of Krishna. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we'll hear a lot more about this in the third chapter. So verse 19, again, the sages are very eager to hear about Krishna. Verse 19. Vayam tu na vitripya mautama shoka vikame yashinvatam rasakyanam saru saru pade pade. We never tire of hearing transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. So why were the sages not tired? What, the message? What?
The message.
The message, okay. Anything else? Why are the sage not tired? Yes. They had taste. Okay, yes. One who has taste will relish hearing at every moment. So Prabhupada makes another point. Of course, that's the same point that you made about the internal potency. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the difference between spiritual topics and mundane topics. There's a big difference. There's a world of difference. Prabhupada says mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic, inasmuch as spirit is dynamic and matter is static. Those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities. No one is satiated by transcendental or devotional activities. So here we are. We're hearing so much, which is spiritual vibration. Why do we get tired? Why aren't we like the sages? Sages don't get tired. Aren't we sages? Here in this room, we get tired of hearing. What's the problem? Why do we get tired? Yes, Nangopa. What? Dull-headed. As Prabhupada used to say, fish brain or cow dung brain. Thank you. Cow dung brain, yes. This is the problem. If cow dung brain is there, then what is the result? Fall asleep. Yes, Prabhu. Too much rice and chapatis in the hot season especially will make you sleep. It'll make you sleep. Of course, we can't just blame it on the rice and chapatis. Yes? Why are you sleeping? Why? Why are you conditioned? Did everybody? Yeah, okay, you can. Yes, Prabhu, last comment. We have other. Okay, we have other agenda or other priorities, let us say. Last comment, Vrindavan Prabhu. Uttama Shloka. We're from Tama. We're Tama, not Uttama. Yeah, which is beyond Tama. Okay, hard for us to appreciate. Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, such am I and my sense of taste that I lick up bitter-tasting, deceitful, profane gossip as if nectar, but remain apathetic to hearing the names, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. I'm so fallen. When I start to hear about the Lord, I comfortably fall asleep. Great. It's nice if you want to try. If you can't sleep at night, just start reading. Okay? Or chant Gayatri. This is even better. But at the chance for vulgar, idle talk, my ears prick up, I become wide awake. In this way, I've always stained the assembly of devotees. So the sages, they're going to sit there for 1,000. What can you say for 1,000 years about Krishna? What can you say? Just imagine if you're the speaker for 1,000 years. So Vidura had the same eagerness. Parikshit had the same eagerness. He wasn't even eating or sleeping or drinking. What eagerness to hear. What the, we can eat, we can sleep, we can do all these things. And we only have to hear an hour a day, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe, the most. So there is a difference between spiritual vibration and material, spiritual life and material life. I was talking to one young girl who is a devotee. She's in Lakshmi Moni's teenage ashram in Alachua, Florida. She was telling me about her sister. Her sister is going to the university in America. And her sister, first she decided, okay, I'm going to become a doctor. So she was studying. Then she got bored. Oh, this is not very interesting. So she said, okay, now I'm going to be a physical therapist. Then she started studying. Again, this is too boring. Then she, okay, political science. So finally, this is the last thing she, I don't know, maybe she changed already by now. But her young sister told me that, you know, actually, I'm in this ashram, I'm in Krishna consciousness. It's so exciting. There's never a dull moment. Something's always happening. So she could appreciate the difference between her life and her sister's life. Her sister's always bored, because she was she was living a life of a devotee before. So it's very, if you pick up the spiritual vibration, then you're never bored. The advanced, actually there's a purport somewhere, Prabhupada says the advanced devotees are never bored. There's always something exciting and new going on. And there's a nice verse actually, it's in 4th canto, 30th chapter, verse 20. Prabhupada often quotes this verse as an example of the Brahma-Bhuta stage. Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. Devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel he's in a stagnant position. As the chanting increases, it comes out new and fresh. So Srila Jiva Goswami explains the super soul is in everyone's heart. But in the devotee's heart, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. So this is what happens when you're actually in touch with the spiritual potency. If you're not, if you're bored, if it's hackneyed, if you're stagnant, then you're spiritually sick. 30. I had a little experience about seeing things in a new light. This summer, for 2 months, I was living in Goa in South India on the beach. And I was swimming every day on the beach. And it was like, there's nobody there. It's like, no people, just a few dogs on the beach. Different packs of dogs, 3 different gangs of dogs who were fighting with each other and sometimes fighting with us. But other than that, there was nobody. It was an isolated place. And so it was very nice because I was studying Bhagavatam there. And I was studying the universe of form. And I was meditating on universe of form, how the sunrise, you see, before the sunrise, there's all this red, beautiful, beautiful red sky. And there it's very beautiful. You can see the whole thing. Here it's covered. And you think, this is the color of Krishna's eyes. This is Krishna's eyes. Around his eyes it's reddish, the sunrise. And then you begin to see it. Yeah, this is Krishna. And you bathe in the ocean. It says the universal form, the ocean is the universal form's waste. And if you bathe in the ocean, then you get cured of all your stomach illnesses, stomach disease. So I got cured, and I was meditating in the universal form. I was seeing, yes, this is Krishna. You can actually see Krishna everywhere in this world. This is the purpose of the universal form, and we'll be discussing that actually much later. But anyway, it was just a realization. And how you see it, you don't look at the things the same way as you used to when you see it through the Bhagavatam. It looks fresh, it looks new. And this is how it actually is. This is the way it is. When you see it, more closer relationship to Krishna, then you see it. So the sages, they were seeing this Srimad Bhagavatam like that, ever new, ever fresh. And so they were very eager to hear. Prabhupada himself is an example. He used to get up 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes earlier than that, wake up the devotees. And he wouldn't wake them up, but by accident, perhaps, he would wake up and start translating Srimad Bhagavatam. For him, it was so exciting to translate this Bhagavatam. He said, even I read these books because I didn't write them. So even Prabhupada, he was like that. He got up at 2, he translated, he was chanting his rounds, went for a morning walk, constantly talking on the morning walk. We have all these nice recordings of conversations, Prabhupada's morning walks. Then he would give the class, Guru Puja, give the Bhagavatam class. And then after breakfast, he would be constantly talking. That was his time for management between 9 and 1. He would manage ISKCON, he would answer all his letters. So he's still talking and chanting. And then after that, after his rest, he would go out in the evening and preach. So this was Prabhupada, never tired of chanting. And he said in a letter in 1973, the instructions given in my books is my personal instruction. It's personal. If you want some personal instruction, read the books and you'll find it practically in every purport. So we'll see here in the purport, let's see what's Prabhupada's instruction here. I saw something here in this purport. It's about 4 or 5 lines down. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life and find in them new light of information. So he wants us to read these books. So we know Lord Krishna, when he was at the ashram of his guru, Sandipani Muni, Lord Krishna got the benediction that his words would always be fresh. So therefore, we have the words of Krishna, we have the activities of Krishna, he's got his guru's blessings. So therefore, Krishna is ever fresh. Krishna's message is ever fresh. So Bhagavatam is like this. Verse 20, let's hear. What are the sages so eager to hear about?
Kittavan kila karmani sahara minakeshava atimatyani bhagavan guta kapratamanusha.
Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. So this is what they want to hear about, Krishna and Balaram. So Prabhupada in this purport is very heavy on imitation incarnations. He says a theory, a man becomes God by dint of penance and austerity, is very much rampant nowadays, especially in India. Since Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya were detected by the sages and saints to be the personality of Godhead as indicated in revealed scriptures, many unscrupulous men have created their own incarnations. There's one incarnation, we won't mention any names, but on his deathbed, he was dying. And he said, I am Ram, I am Krishna. And they accepted, he's Ram, he's Krishna. He said so on his deathbed. So that's how he became an incarnation. So this is very, Prabhupada says, this process of concocting an incarnation of God has become an ordinary business, especially in Bengal. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery and easily become an incarnation of Godhead by popular vote. I was reading in the fifth canto, and it was telling about, of course we know about the major mystic powers. There's actually eight, and then there's 10 more. 8 major and 10 minor, described in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. But then if you read the 5th canto, it's described there's something like 93 demoniac mystic powers in the lower planets. So this is also there. And we should be aware of that. That there are 93 types that Maya Dhanava has, and he teaches. And he trains all the demons up in these mystic powers. So this is also there. And some, Prabhupada said some of these incarnations, they have these powers and they misuse them. Or they use them according to their guru, Maya Dhanava. So Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita, he was asking Krishna, you please tell me about this, your universal form. Show me your universal form. Tell me of your divine opulences. So why he's asking? Because he wants to make a point about incarnations. Who is an authorized incarnation? He has to show his universal form. So now the sages, they're doing the same thing as Arjuna. They're saying, you please tell us, give us a list of all your incarnations. You want to have a list. They want it to be here, written down in the scripture. So therefore, future generations can refer to Bhagavatam and check the list. Are you on the list of incarnations? Is your name there? No? Okay. Sorry. We don't accept. So this is the point. Why they're also asking for the benefit of all people. So they're very, of course they also want to hear about the incarnations. Krishna, Arjuna also said, I want to hear, I'm eager to hear. I want to, so I can think, so I have something to think about. So that's also the sages are asking, they want to have something to think about. But they're also very happy to hear every little detail of Krishna's life, Krishna's incarnations. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example about this. That a mother, if you, of course, maybe some of you don't know, but mothers, when they have small babies, they can talk for hours about their baby. Yesterday, Nandu got his first tooth. And you know what he said? He said, Gagu ga, Prabhupada. See, he said Prabhupada. So she's going on and on and on, and he walks like this, and he dropped this toy, and he moved his hand like this. And she can go on for hours about the kid. And then the friend's sitting there, my God, when's she going to stop? So, but the mother, she can do this because she has love for the child. Every little detail, every little thing the kid does, she's so attached. So sages are like this with Krishna. Every little detail, every little incarnation that Krishna, how does Krishna do this? How does he create? How does he appear as Varaha? How does he appear as Nrisimha? They want to know. They're very attached. They want to hear every little detail, and this will make them happy because they love Krishna. And they have attachment, they have attraction. So verse 21, how attached are the sages?
Kalim agatam agyaya kshetresmin vaishnave vayam asina dirkasatrena katayam sakshana hare.
Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead and in this way perform sacrifice. So 1,000 years. Are we prepared to sit 1,000 years? Or even 3 hours. Very, very difficult task for us in this Kali Yuga. So they're going to perform the sacrifice for us. They're going to sit in here, they're going to chew it, and we're going to hear, we're going to get their remnants here in Srimad Bhagavatam. So just the essence, because we don't have that much time. We're not going to get the 1,000-year video. We're just going to get a concise slice over here of what they've been talking about. So Prabhupada says, by the example of these sages, one should learn. Okay, here's personal instruction from Prabhupada. By the example of these sages, one should learn regular hearing and recitation of Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. This is real life. Because when we hear about the stories in the Bhagavatam, we see the qualities of the devotees. We want to develop these qualities. We also, yes, I want to be like this. How do I become like this? Narada Muni's life is so wonderful because he's got the lowest birth. Dasiputra. Doesn't know who his father is. He has no idea who his father is. That's his birth. And he became such a great elevated devotee, Vaishnava. So there's hope for us. We can also become. We hear about Narada Muni. In the second chapter, we'll hear about the process. And then later on, Burijan Prabhu will explain to you how it actually happens in real life, in the life of Narada Muni, and how we can see it happening in our lives. So this is real life. We heard Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. We heard that in the third verse. Drink Bhagavatam. Drink this nectar. The sages are eager. We want to drink this nectar. And again, we should understand the difference between this nectar and other mundane nectar. Just a few weeks ago, there was a big sign up on the Food for Life office, outside the Food for Life office, and it was telling all the bad effects of drinking Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. And they told a story about a contest at one of these Indian universities. They had a contest, who could drink the most Coca-Cola? So one of the students won the contest. He drank 8 liters and then he fainted. Because it was of lack of air or something. There's so much carbon dioxide in the Coke. So then they banned it from the university. So there's a limit to how much we can drink in the material world. There's a level of satiety. Even the one who can win the contest, still, he cannot drink more than 8 liters. But we can drink Bhagavatam as much as we like. And we don't have to worry about overdoing it. We can drink as much as we like. So that is what the sages are urging us. Vyasadeva is urging us. And after we drink, we contemplate, we discuss, and we preach. In the purport to verse 21, Srila Prabhupada says, this is at the end of the purport, Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavat Dharma, and he recommended that all those who are born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Shri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further advancement in self-realization. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted us to preach. Of course, Prabhupada tried in India to convince the people and nobody was listening, so then he went to America and then he got some people. Then he came back to India, and then people started listening. So that was what happened. First he said India, but then it was very difficult. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jari Deko Tai Koho Krishna Upadesh. Anyone you meet, you tell him. You give him Krishna Upadesh, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you do this, what is the benefit? Lord Chaitanya gives a benediction to the preacher. What is that? A Lila Madhuri. He will jump in the heart. He will hear the holy name. Yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he's quoted in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that if you preach, then you will never lose my association. Or else, I will meet you again here. I will meet you again one day. So this is a benediction, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we have to also, this is another instruction by Srila Prabhupada. Every purport, there's instructions, personal instructions. So according to our capability, our receptivity, we can accept these quotes. What's that? Or is that Shokajari Deko? It's a very famous one. That one. That's the next sloka after that. Yeah. Kabu na taribe tomar vishay taranga. Yeah. It's right next. Yes. Immediately. He advised the Kurma Brahman, because the Kurma Brahman was a grihasta. And he said, the Kurma, after he saw Lord Chaitanya, he says, I'm leaving my family. I'm coming with you. I just want to follow you. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. You stay in your family. And whoever, Jari Deko Tari Koho Krishna Vudesh, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Because he was so much feeling separation of Lord Chaitanya. Then after that, he says, then if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not disturb you, and I will again meet you here. Or, rather, you will never lose my company. You got it? It's the next verse. Isn't that wonderful? We always quote the first one, but we never quote the second one. So the second one's even better. You get what's the benediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If you preach my message. Remain in your position. Whatever position you're in, don't change. Just stay in that position, but preach. You don't have to change. Everyone can preach, any position you're in. That was the whole basis of Prabhupada's movement. He didn't care what we were or who we were. He had us preach. What was our conditioning? He just sent us out there to start the temples and Grihastha, Brahmachari, anybody, whoever you were, you just get out and preach. His mood, that was his mission. So let's read the next verse. Who is our captain of the ship?
Tvam nasandarshito tatra dustaram nishtitir shatam kalim sattvaharam pungsam karnatara ivarnavam.
We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as the captain of a ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So Prabhupada, in the purport, talks about the people of this age, how busy they are, they forget. And Prabhupada says, out of madness, this is about 6, 7, 8 lines down, they frankly say there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. So how is this life but a brief moment? If you compare our life to the life of Lord Brahma, how long is Lord Brahma's day? Madhavendra Puri Prabhu. Okay, 8,640,000,000 years. That's one day. One day. 24 hours. One day and one night. And he lives for 100 years. As such, yes. Trillion. His lifetime or? That 340 trillion. 311 trillion. Divided by? Oh, in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, it's in Bhagavad Gita. 311 trillion. So compared to Lord Brahma, how long is our life? How long? Can you figure it out with your calculator? So then the next question is, next to Vishnu, how long is Lord Brahma's life? Lord Vishnu, he simply breathes out one breath, and that's his life. And then he breathes in and Brahma's finished. So just, whole thing finished. One creation, gone. Come, gone. Come, gone. One creation. So, and Prabhupada's in the purport, in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, even Lord Brahma's life is like a flash of lightning compared to the life of Vishnu. So, they don't realize that this life, they think, oh yeah, I have 60 years, I have 100 years, I can live, I will live forever, especially when you're young. You think, I have a very long life, I don't have to worry. Actually, we don't. We have a very short life. So therefore, we have to use it for its proper purpose. Unfortunately, people, they don't even believe in the next life. They don't believe, they don't see the need for self-realization. Srila Prabhupada always quotes this one professor in Russia, Professor Kotovsky. Prabhupada was telling him about reincarnation, and Professor Katovsky said, Swamiji, after this life, everything is finished. So, therefore, eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy, because after this life, there's nothing. So Prabhupada explains how the modern civilization, they are taking shelter of so many other things besides Krishna consciousness. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Why was Prabhupada so heavy, condemning modern education? Slaughterhouse. It's a very heavy word. It's very heavy. In Isha Upanishad, it says, this education is like a jewel on the head of a serpent. And one professor, one devotee was telling me, he talked to a professor who actually understood this, professor in university. He said that modern education stupefies people. It stupefies, it keeps them in a low position so that they'll be satisfied to work 9 to 5 for nothing, for very little. It stupefies the brain. So this is the problem. People are thinking, this is the solution. If I get education, this is the solution to my problems. This is not the proper boat. Here it's talking about, what is the boat to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali? So today in modern civilization, they have so many different boats which they use to cross over. Divyambar, Mataji, can you just take off this? I had a class on this verse before, and in our class we brainstormed and we got all kinds of different boats. The whole thing, take off the whole chart. No, the whole, yeah. The first, yeah, there we go. Material boats, there you have it. This is what my last class came up with, because we don't have much time in this class. So I'll just give you the results of our brainstorming here. Science, technology, especially technology, now a computer is the thing for the young people, the younger generation. My son, he never learned computer until he was like 12 or 13, but after a few months he knew it, just in their blood, somehow. Television, these are they take shelter. Television is their only friend. Family hardly, maybe more in India. But these are some of the boats: drugs, politics, new age philosophies, altruism, atheism, sports, entertainment, support groups, gambling. Some of the shelters that people find in Kali Yuga. But unfortunately, there is a song about Nityananda that says, these shelters, they all prove false. Anything but Nityananda's lotus feet. But don't think Nityananda also will prove false. These shelters, they will prove false. So many material boats. There is one, Prabhupada often talked about modern science. I won't say everything he said, because he said so many things about science, like it's a post-dated check, and so many things. But one interesting thing in relationship to this crossing the ocean of material nations, Prabhupada said that if you're taking shelter of modern science, it's like trying to catch the tail of a dog to cross the ocean. So it will not, you won't go very far, in other words, modern science. Modern politicians, again, this is mentioned by Lord Indra in Srimad Bhagavatam later on. We'll read how if those who take shelter of politics or modern politicians are boarding a stone boat, which will surely sink. So these are some of the things that people are taking shelter. Now the sages, they foresaw this, so they had a plan. These sages had a plan. They had a ship to give to the people. Prabhupada in the purport explains, this is the end of the purport. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages, Naimisharanya, except Shishuta Goswami or his bona fide representative as captain of the ship. The ship is a message of Lord Shri Krishna in the shape Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So right in the beginning, we're understanding that we're going on a journey. We're going on a ship. Ship is Srimad Bhagavatam. Captain is the Guru, Srila Prabhupada. He is going to guide us on this journey. Of course, after hearing the message of Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada says, we must also preach. We must live the Bhagavatam. I have one godbrother named Vishal. Very funny godbrother. Very, very funny. He's not funny because he tries to be, but he's just funny. And so one time, actually he did many different things, but one thing he, you know about Vishal. Yeah, he's famous, at least among the older devotees. So especially he was here in the early days in India, and he was always coming out with different things with Srila Prabhupada. One time he went in Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada got a new volume of one of the Bhagavatams. Nobody else had a copy. It was an advanced copy. And so Vishal went and asked Prabhupada if he could borrow it. And Prabhupada lent it to him. He would just do outrageous things sometimes. So one time, this wasn't so outrageous, but Prabhupada was ready to go on his morning walk here at Krishna Balaram Mandir. This was some, I think, 1975 or so, something like that. And Vishal was waiting at the gate to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he started, at the top of his lungs, he started saying this verse. We think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, like shouting it. And Prabhupada stopped him. And he said, do something practical. Look, here's a mud puddle. Clean it up. Here's a puddle of water. And so he was, and Vishal, you know, said, okay, into action. And so Prabhupada actually explained, you know, what this meant. You know, it's very nice to glorify your spiritual master. That's very good if you want to glorify your guru. But Prabhupada said in one lecture, this is in Sanand in 1975, Srila Prabhupada said, you can glorify your guru, but real glorification is if you can preach like your guru, if you can defend the philosophy, if you can change people, actually defend the philosophy. He said, preach against all opposition. He said, praising is very nice. That is good. At home you can praise, but if you go out and fight with the opposition, then your guru will be very glorified. So this is what Prabhupada wanted, to learn the philosophy and preach against all opposition. And this is, so then the last verse is the last question of the sages. Let's read this. Bhuhi yogeshare krishne bhamanye dharma varmani swam kastamatano pete dharma kam sharanam gata. Since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. The sages are feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna's gone. Where shall we go? What shall we do? Who will give us shelter? They're feeling the oppressive influence of Kali. Kali appeared on the very day, the very hour, the very moment that Krishna left the planet. He couldn't come as long as Krishna was here. Then he appeared. Of course, Parikshit kept him under control for some time. We'll hear about that later. Parikshit was a very strong representative of Krishna. He could control Kali. Parikshit. But even then, Kali slipped in. So the sages, they're very concerned. Where is the shelter Krishna has left? Has he left us unprotected? Are we alone in our attempts for spiritual life? Who will give us shelter? This is the sixth and the last question, sages. And the answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the shelter of this age of Kali. Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna swadhamo bhagate dharmagyan. Bhagavatam has arisen. One sun has set, the other sun has risen. Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who are very, very fortunate, they can perceive how Krishna has appeared in this age of Kali. As Bhagavatam is the holy name, two incarnations. Or they're none different, they're the same. So persons, if you're interested to get out of the darkness, then you can have light by Srimad Bhagavatam. So I would like to discuss a little bit about the themes that we find in chapter 1. And some of these, many of these, will be also found in chapter 2. Divyamberg, you can take off this one now. We'll see the next one. I've written something here. It's very rough. It's just my perception of what I've seen as... No, take off the whole thing again. Yeah. Yes. Actually, parampara, it's hinted at here in the first chapter. In verses 5-8, these sages are worshipping their guru. And eagerness to hear, this is a very major thing that we find in this chapter here, because we're preparing to hear. Sutta is not yet speaking, the sages want to hear, and so we'll see this so much about being eager to hear in the second verse, Shishushubis. In the 12th verse, Badram Te, we give you blessing, please speak. 13th verse, Shishushamananam. In the 16th verse, cool not here about Krishna. In the 17th verse, Sharadhanam. In the 19th verse, we're never tired of hearing. So just go verse after verse after verse, purport after purport. We see this eagerness to hear. Eagerness to speak, again, it's the benediction of Vyasadeva and his invitation. Pibata, please drink. I should have put three there also. First three verses, eagerness to distribute. Param Dharma. This is a major theme. This is just introduced in the first chapter. It will be expanded quite a bit in the second chapter. There will be an explanation, the first, from verses 6 to 10, will be quite an explanation on Param Dharma and Kaitava Dharma. We'll find in the second chapter. Chanting the holy name, we have this Param Dharma is bhakti, chanting the holy name, association with Vaishnavas. And within this, I've included reciprocation from Krishna, that Krishna will appear in your heart. He'll remove all inauspicious things, and you'll be free from all miseries. Kaitava Dharma is given in verse 2. This will be expanded again in the second chapter. And again in the fifth chapter, this Param Dharma Param Dharma we'll see again in the fifth chapter, especially in the instructions of Narada Muni. Param Dharma and Kaitava Dharma we'll see again in the fifth chapter. First six chapters have a lot about these things, relationship between guru and disciple. We'll see Narada Muni, how he relates with his guru and how his gurus relate with him. Can we turn the next page? Is everybody ready? Maybe you should put it up on the board. Okay, we can tear it off and put it up. Yes, Prabhu. Eagerness to speak. Pardon me? First two, yeah. I think first three, actually. First two, I would say 1-3, because I have speak and distribute. So distribute in the third one, he's saying, Pibata, please drink. He's actually very much eager to distribute. Yeah, this was done quickly off the top of my head. And the last theme I have here is Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this we will find very strong in the first three chapters. Very, very strong. You'll see it in the second, you'll see it in the third. It's just introduced in the first verse, Janmadyasyataha Param Satyam. We just have first chapter is like an introduction, basically to get us interested to hear Bhagavatam. And then the second chapter, these will be expanded. Param Dharma, Kaitava Dharma. Especially tomorrow, we're going to go through all those verses very quickly. And so you can be prepared to look tomorrow for this expansion of Param Dharma and Kaitava Dharma, verses 6 through 10 especially. I'll give you another little outline tomorrow. Little analysis of the verses of chapter 2, so then you can follow along what's happening in chapter 2, because we're going to go pretty fast. Okay? Any questions? Madhavendra Puri Prabhu.
Yes, timing.
Timings. Well, the point is this, that they were discussing at the same time. So it took them 1,000 years to... They were hearing for 1,000 years. I don't know exactly. That would be a good question to ask Gopi Pranadana. But it says they're prepared to hear for 1,000 years. So that means they were continuously hearing Bhagavatam. Anantadev, in just one pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna, he speaks with his thousands of mouths and he can't finish. So we can... everything can be expanded and contracted. So for us, it's being contracted. we're getting a concise form. It can also be expanded. The past times, the everything. Yes. Yes, that also. Yes. Another realms. And see, if you have a lifetime of 1,000 years, it means you have your brain is much better. If you can live for 1,000 years, and you never forget what you hear. The memory was very sharp 5,000 years ago. They didn't need books. Now, then Vyasadeva wrote it down for us. So everything is expanded. So with our tiny brains, we have a nice discussion. Just imagine, if you have a brain like a demigod or a brain like a sage, what your discussions can be. Of course, we get a glimpse here in Srimad Bhagavatam what their discussions are like. But in some of the higher planets, these discussions are going on and on still. And they have such huge lifetimes, immense lifetimes. They discuss for millions of years, billions of years. They don't get tired. 1,000 years is nothing. So the question is, he wasn't. Okay, what does he mean when he says, hearing Bhagavatam is the only method of self-realization? Does this mean we shouldn't do deity worship? Yes, if you follow Bhagavatam and you do what it says, chant the holy name right in the beginning, chant the holy name, worship the devotees, and the devotees are going to tell you, and the Bhagavatam is going to tell you to do deity worship. It's going to tell you to do all these things. So, obviously, Maharaj, you have a question or a comment? Bhagavatam is the basis for all the other methods of self-realization. Easiest way to see Krishna is to hear Bhagavatam, discuss Bhagavatam. In the 5th chapter, Darshan Prabhu. Very good. That's a very good point. Yes, we follow two paths, the Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. Two marks, two paths simultaneously, like a train. Train has two rails, so we follow two paths simultaneously, because Bhagavad Marga is very hard also for us. We need to do things with our bodies. You see? Very good question. Prabhupada says, so when you are established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, then you can take up Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment. The question is, how do I know if I'm established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? Pass your Bhakti Shastri exam? Is that it? Or is it something else? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, very good. Eagerness to speak, okay. What is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita? What is the essence? What should you, after reading Bhagavad Gita, what should you do? Preach. What else? Surrender to Krishna. Yes. Do bhakti yoga. Yes. Yeah, so after reading Bhagavad Gita, being established in Bhagavad Gita means exactly what all the devotees are saying. You're thinking, you're manmana, you're thinking of Krishna, you're worshipping Krishna, offering obeisances, you're surrendering to Krishna. You're accepting Krishna. You believe in Krishna. You're changed. You're a changed person already. You already changed your life. You already changed your consciousness. And after studying Bhagavad Gita, after Bhakti Shastra, you should also be a Brahmin. And what are the Brahminical qualifications? What does it say there? Shamo Dhamma Tapa Shocham Shanti Arjivam Evacha. So these are the qualities. Self-control, calmness. What is tolerance? Tolerance. Arjivam, simplicity. Tolerance. Shamo Dhamma Tapa, austerity. Shocham, cleanliness. Knowledge, religiousness, realized knowledge. So these, if you have come further on the path in development of these qualities also, if you are surrendered to Krishna, if you're thinking, if you're trying to lead your life in terms of Krishna's instructions, then you have understood Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Vishaka. Brahmana who, the illiterate Brahman. Oh, yeah, that's the illiterate Brahman. Illiterate. One who could not read Bhagavad Gita, yes. He understood. He understood Bhagavad Gita. It's the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, Arjuna especially. This is the essence. Paramakarna. Is it related to the Nishtha platform? Nishta is a very high platform, actually. We'll actually discuss more about Nishta when we discuss these verses, because it's described here in the second chapter, where when you come to the Nishta platform, it's very specifically given, the word Naishtiki. So that's a very high platform. You may surrender before you get to Nishta, hopefully, otherwise we wouldn't be here. You do have to surrender to some extent before you even come to Nishta. Yes. Yes, fixed. Fixed up. They don't deviate. Very strictly the process. Yeah, you have to be very careful. So we will be very specific in our definition. We will see what Bhagavat says. Of course, we will refer to Madhurya Kadambini also because it's very specific. Yes, Prabhu? That's right. You missed the second class. Prabhupada says in the purport that Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee to the absolute truth, Lord Krishna. That the Bhagavad Gita ends and Bhagavatam begins. When you one of the qualifications to hear. Okay, you must at least theoretically. Okay, so his point is a very nice point that at least when you're studying Bhagavad Gita, theoretically you should accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by the time you finish Gita, you should be ready to have a relationship with Krishna. And that's what Bhagavatam is. It will give you your relationship with Krishna. Beginning to end. Avadhutapriya. Yeah. So you don't relish them. That's true. Yeah, of course, it depends also on your advancement, too. I know it is a big problem that I think the stages are described in Madhurya Kadambini. There's a taste with some conditioning, some condition, and taste without conditioning. So, we're on the level where we have taste with some conditions attached. That it must be a good speaker, it must be a good kirtan, it must be this, it must be that. And then I'm attracted. Of course, but actually, I saw one example, and I couldn't believe it myself, my eyes, when Gopi Pranadana used to live here. Then every day, he was sitting right in the front in Bhagavatam class. Didn't matter who was speaking. One time I asked him, I said, Prabhu, how do you do it? How do you just... I just asked him, I said, you know, sometimes... He says, it is Srimad Bhagavatam. So I guess his hearing and our hearing is quite different. So it's quite possible to do. It's possible. How determined you are to hear Bhagavatam. Yes. You had a discussion on that. What was your conclusion? Yes, Bhagavatam speakers. It's not the Bhagavatam. Acha. This is a problem. So this is a managerial consideration, actually. The management has to be made aware of these things. Now, so this is something that has to be worked out with the management, of course. What are you going to do? Revolt? Bring down the speaker? We don't want sign. Put up signs. You're not following the principles. Shouldn't speak. Yes, Maharaj. What? Put up signs.
My shogun dies from that beyond. Uh-huh. And he always had his notebook.
Right.
And he was always, you know.
Who, Dravida?
It was a good class, he was taking notes. I noticed email, but he was doing something else.
Okay, now I don't want to tell you to follow this example. Because.
But what can you do?
But Maharaj is giving us this example. Especially for the younger devotees. Doesn't want to waste his time. Okay, this is an example of somebody who doesn't want to waste his time. Parvati. Srivrindavan. We have to respect Bhagavatam, though.
Yeah,
Srivrindavan? Right. We should what? Take gold from a dirty place. Right, right. Somebody has an accent, you don't understand the word. Take gold from a dirty place. Appreciate the devotee. Yes, Paramakarna. Yes, this is good. So we have bees here who are looking for the honey. Okay, and we have a combination of bees and something else. Okay, so here we have another solution. We've got two sides here. One side is going to find good no matter what, and the other side is going to switch off if the class is too boring. Or switch on to another channel. Switching on to another channel, a transcendental, more transcendental channel. Why don't we feel so fresh? Because we're suffering from jaundice. Bitter medicine. Okay, so we ourselves are jaundiced. So we can put it on ourselves that it's not our, the speaker's fault, it's my fault. I'm just sick. I can't appreciate. Yes, Darshan, are you? That's right, yeah. Yeah. I've got a quote from Prabhupada on what you just said. This is in a letter to one leader in 75. Prabhupada said, "You must see they strictly follow the regulative principles, the four prohibitions, devotional practices of rising early, taking morning bath, putting on tilak, attending Mangalarti, chanting japa, 16 rounds, attending Bhagavatam class. This is a duty of all my initiated disciples, whether they are big or they are small. Actually, in our movement, there is no such thing as big or small. Everyone is a devotee, so everyone is expected to follow devotional practices. Here in Vrindavan, I am enjoying my disciples, how they are speaking. Two times daily, everyone must attend the class." So Prabhupada used to come to the classes of the devotees in Vrindavan, 75. Gopi Janabalaba. Acha? Thank you. He said, "Do not be Paramahansa. Now I haven't got to hear Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Don't be a better Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. I go and sit, and I enjoy the lectures, how they are performing kirtan. So as I am doing, you must also do." Okay, clarification. 20. Yeah.
You mentioned there
were in 11th canto, where in Uddhava Gita, 10 major, 8 major and 10 minor. Yeah. The exact verse I don't have off the tip of my head. The exact chapter also I don't. I don't know the exact person. One professor. I can't find that. That's just. Yeah, I'm sorry. That I can't substantiate. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sanand 75. It's a lecture. I don't know exactly. That's as much as I have right here. In Sanand, S-A-N-A-N-D. Gujarat.
S-A-N-A-N-D.
Gujarat.
S-A-N-A-N-D.
D. So you can look it up under that, I'm sure. It's the only
Sanand?
No, I have Sanand here. No, not Surat. 22. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Actually, we hear that in India, when the British introduced their education, it was to make a class of, secretaries and clerics and, people who would just be like servants to the higher class, to the English. So they had to introduce this education. And I recently read in the newspaper that they want to change it because the way it is now in Indian schools, you simply go there and you memorize, huge books and things, and that's your education. You don't think. You're not taught to think, actually. So now they want to change that. They realize that now in the Indian education system, that you're not taught to really use your brain. They want somebody who just is willing, and it's very strong, even like in Vrindavan here. One of the one person, he had his child was in an outside school, and he was telling how all they do is just you're supposed to put your hand out and they slap you with a stick. That's their education. 200 kids in one class. He told me his son was in a class with 200 kids, and the lady was sitting up there chewing betel nut, and she just calls him up and smacks him with a stick every day. So an inspector came to the school, and all the kids put their hands out, and they said, "What are you teaching here?" That was their, they didn't learn. He told me his son didn't learn anything. He had to teach him everything at home. So now he put his kid in the Gurukul. So let's see if they can do a better job. At least they won't smack him with a stick. But this is modern, especially here in India. It's very difficult. They just train you to obey. You must be afraid of the stick. What? Where does what come from? Oh, Kali. Kali? Kali? Where does Kali come from? He's a demigod. There's four demigods, Kali, Dwarapa, Satya, and Treta. He's a demigod. Well, a partial incarnation came even while Krishna was here. That was Duryodhana. He came as Duryodhana. He caused the battle of destruction of the Kuru dynasty. But before that, he's got a place in the heavenly planets. He's a demigod. And, yeah, well, somewhere in the universe. I don't know exactly. About his incarnation?
About the 12 yugas, everything is a person.
Yeah, everything. Even day, night.
The demigods?
Yeah, he's a... Well, actually, if you read about the creation of Lord Brahma in the 10th chapter of the 3rd canto, then it's very surprising what you're going to find there. The 3rd canto, chapter 10. It lists all the different creations. So 6 of the creations are Swarga. That's the creation of Mahatattva, Ahankara, false ego, then the 3 modes. This is all Swarga, even demigods. There's a creation of demigods in Swarga. Then you look at the creations of Lord Brahma, and you find there's unmoving things like trees, and then there's the animals, and then there's the human species, and then there's the demigods. And if you look at the demigods, there's 8 kinds of demigods. And one of them is Asuras. It's very funny. It seems like a contradiction. But in terms of one way of looking at it, is there a type of... They're more powerful than humans, actually, the demons, the Asuras. There's Asuras, even the ghosts. They're a form of demigod. The ghosts, the Yakshas, the Gandharvas, the actual leaders like Indra. There's 8 different types of demigods. You'll find this in chapter 10 of the 3rd canto, if you can look it up. And it's very interesting. I see that, even Kali, Dwapara, they're demigods. He's not listed, but you can see the Asuras are demigods. Exactly who Kali is, that he's mentioned actually in the 10th canto as an incarnation of Duryodhana is a partial incarnation of Kali, but exactly where he comes from, I don't remember if it says. Yes, Prabhu. Kali and Maya. Well, there's 2 Kalis. There's Kali and Kali. So which... The big one, Kali, that's Kali. There's Kali, Mother Kali, who has a big long tongue and who's killing everyone. Okay, that's Durga, a form of Durga, ferocious. We'll hear about that more in the 2nd chapter, the horrible forms of the demigods. That's Kali. And Kali is a time, just like actually even the seasons, it's like the seasons. You have 6 seasons, they're also personified. Summer, winter, spring. Actually, in India, we have 6 seasons. So it's like the seasons, the 4 yugas, they're personified also. And they come, they have their time, they have their place. And even Kali is worshipped by the sages. We'll find that out later when we talk about Parikshit. Why didn't he just kill? He could have killed Kali. Why didn't he do it? It's his time. It's Kali's time. Winter must come. Fall must come. These seasons must come. And with every season, there's also a benefit. With Kali, the sages worship Kali Yuga because it's very easy to get self-realization in Kali Yuga. Other ages, so much difficulty. Meditate for 100,000 years. Perform sacrifice for 10,000 years. You have to do deity worship. 1,000 years, whatever, all these other very difficult processes. Kali Yuga, it's very easy. Just chant for a few years, for a life, one lifetime. Chant Hare Krishna. And so therefore, we'll see more when we get to the 17th chapter, where how Parikshit receives Kali, punishment, reward of Kali, you know, how he dealt with Kali. And we can learn a lot of lessons from that ourselves. Sankirtanas. Yes, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said. Can we say there is a conspiracy against Parikshit or?
Not generally. Some people intentionally doing something bad.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So based intentionally.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy. Definitely. We could. I mean, it's obvious. In science. In government, I know before when I was. I think I mentioned this before, that the American government, the Association of Doctors or whatever, Surgeon General, they found out meat eating is bad. They knew it. They found out many years ago. But there is a conspiracy to stop this. Knowledge never came out. They never reported their findings. Yeah, we get some...
They never went to the moon.
Yeah, like this... Yeah, conspiracies are there. Yeah, there's things that we don't know. Madhavendra Puri.
In this regard,
knowledge filtering. Yes, yes. And my son actually told me the other day, he was on his computer encyclopedia or whatever, somewhere he saw that one man discovered how to run a car using water. He was killed, and all his papers were destroyed. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And somebody, instead of petrol, you use water. Instead of using petrol, you use water to run your car. And someone I met who had gone to the university, and they told me that they teach at the university, she was studying to be an engineer, she says they teach you how to make something so it'll break in a year. This you're taught. Yeah. So you're taught how to make something so it'll last only 1 year. So this is going on. If it's not a conspiracy, what is it? Yeah, well, there's ignorance is there, but then there's also... cheaters and the cheated, Prabhupada said. There's those who are cheated, definitely, in ignorance, and there's the cheaters.
No.
Yes, Kali. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kali is here, yes. Which book? Yeah. Even they know. Even though we don't. Yeah, people know. Yeah, there are intelligent people in this world. We'll have to stop now because you're going to have your class. Your next class, whoever's going to it.